Bob, welcome.
Thanks for having me. Excited to be here.
So I was trying to jog my memory. May of 2017, PyCon in Portland. There was a Birds of a Feather meeting. It was like the testing Birds of a Feather. And I was nervous because I wanted to talk at it. I was like going to try to get up and talk. And I was we were standing outside, and you're standing there, and you came up to me and said, "Hey, are you Brian?" and or something, and we just started talking. And I had already covered you, or Michael and I had already covered a couple things about PyBytes on Python Bytes, and it was cool to meet you in person. So 2017 was a long time ago, but it wasn't really. But mm-hmm, now it feels like I've known you for a long time.
So, 6 years.
Yeah.
I remember that PyCon.
was that the first PyCon you've been, PyCon US you've been to, or
yes,
been to others? Okay. Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, me too. So we have kind of a similar history of PyCon. So, that was the second Portland Python. Since I'm in the area, so of course I wanted to go, but the 2016, I couldn't get tickets. Uh-huh. I tried too late. So
Right. Yeah, it was Portland. Yeah, it was a really nice one. 6 years, yeah. That's where we started to get into the space.
And that's kind of when PyBytes or PyBit.es, PyBytes, you and Julian got started, right? I mean, you started doing the code challenges. They were GitHub challenges. And like, I looked back, the README first commit was January of 2017. So
correct.
Yeah. And then it just kind of grew. So you did the GitHub challenges. Then you made I don't know the order, there's the platform, the code challenges platform, which is cool. You had a Slack associated with it. You're blogging about it. I guess the blog came with the code challenges, right? You and Julian were blogging about it.
What was the order
of how you guys did this stuff?
Yeah, it was Christmas break 2016. Julian and I, Julian Sequeira, right, the other half of PyBytes, we were looking for some adventure because we were talking about, you know, launching something, doing some calibration, so some project. And and we happened to like Python, right? And he was a complete beginner. I already had coded in it for a couple of years. So he said, well, let's just start a Python blog. Like, there are millions out there, right? People can definitely use yet another blog. But we just needed some outlet to share learning and create that community. So we started a blog. Pretty quickly, we found a niche of code challenges, right? Of launching these challenges, because we thought, well, a lot of what's out there is pretty theoretical. So we want to learn by doing, right? And teach through code challenge. So we started to launch these code challenges on the blog every week. On Monday, we would launch a challenge. By Friday, we would solve it and compare solutions. And that was really like the fundamentals of PyBytes. Then we added a Slack community on top of it. And then we built our platform where we managed to, that was actually a platform to automate the GitHub pull request stuff. But we actually shifted away from that to solve the exercises in the browser and using AWS Lambda in the backend, which I think we spoke about on testing code at some point. And then later, like flash forward to 2020, we started getting into coaching, and that's what we mainly do these days.
Okay, so I was going to ask about that, but you're also, okay, you also wrote a book. You have a podcast where mm-hmm. you and Julian are talking about stuff. And you started a YouTube channel not too awfully long ago. Mm-hmm. Or has it been about a year? Or how long have you been doing that?
Do you know? Yeah, on and off. I think it's 2 years or so.
Okay.
Yeah. But more seriously, like a year ago.
Okay. Yeah. And you remind me again, you had been coding in Python a couple of years before you started this? Is that right?
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. 2012, I found Python and didn't look back.
Okay. Did you know other languages before that?
Mostly scripting. So I started with PHP and shell scripting and went into Perl, a little bit of Java, but then I found Python and yeah, okay. That's it.
Settled. And this what code, what like space were you doing? Why were you doing scripting and stuff? Were you doing networking or?
Oh, I was a technical support engineer at Sun.
Okay.
Sun Microsystems, and well, actually, I have a finance background, but I moved to Spain, and you know, I went that was the work I could find, right, to become a support engineer supporting Unix systems, which at the start I didn't know anything about. But I grew to like it, and the whole command line stuff and scripting. And then there was this opportunity to build some automation tools on the job to make the support engineer's lives easier or happier. And that's where I got into scripting.
And why did Julian get into it? You remind me? Do you remember?
Good question. So he was more like a hardware engineer, swapping faulty components on those servers. That's actually also where we met, right? Remotely in Sun Microsystems. But yeah, he has just a general interest in coding and solving problems.
Okay.
Yeah. But he comes more from a hardware background.
Now, fast forward. So it's been, my math's not that great. Did you say 5 years, 7 years, 6 years? I don't know.
Six and a half years. Yeah. Okay. Since we started. Yeah.
Are you still, is this still a side project thing, or is PyBytes turned into a full-time job?
Yeah. For me, it is a full-time job now.
Okay.
And PyBytes has become a business in a sense that we have people working for us, not full-time, but we have a team of coaches, right? So we have 8 coaches right now. Some in a career coach as well. So 9 coaches actually.
Wow.
But Julie and myself, that's actually 11 people. So yeah, it has grown quite a bit, mainly because of the PDM program.
Okay. Yeah. So the PDM, that's the, what, remind me what that means. PDM.
PyBytes developer mindset. So a 12-week coaching program.
Yeah. Okay. And that's your coaching program. And that started in 2020. Mm-hmm. What I do want to, I'm curious about this. So I want to like poke at this a little bit.
Sure.
What made you start coaching?
Yeah, that's a great question. So it was the end of 2019. We had been helping hundreds of people at that point, right, through the Slack community and mainly the platform. There are also some 100 Days of Code courses with Michael, right, at Talk Python. And we're kind of stuck in a sense as well. Like we were a bit bored and doing the same thing. I mean, we liked it, but we were just looking for how can we have a bigger impact, right? And we just noticed like, if we would work one-to-one with people, we would really help them become developers. I mean, our platform does a great job at teaching them the Python skills and endorsing that deliberate practice, but there was much more to it, right? To build a project end-to-end, you need to know the tooling, the testing. There's also mindset involved, actually. So we started to put together a new offer and decided that coaching would be the way to help people getting there faster and with more guidance. And that's how we went into coaching.
And is this a custom thing? Like, do you customize for each person or is it,
yes.
Do you have like a set amount of stuff you go through or? Okay.
Yeah, it's not a bootcamp. So people come to us with the applications they want to build. And that can be a pretty complex, advanced, wild. And we help them one-on-one. So that's the fun part. They get to build what they want, and it challenges us to also learn new things and help them make it happen.
That's pretty cool. And then about, is it vary in range?
Well, there are common trends. So a lot of people want to do web development, so they end up with Fast API or Django, but then the app idea is still very broad.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, can vary.
But like, but how
they're common set of tools, right, they use.
Is it a fixed time frame or open-ended?
12 weeks.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they typically do 1 to 3 apps, so it depends a little bit. Like some people want to land a developer job, so they might do 3 apps that vary, you know, web, data, bit of DevOps, so they try to add some variation. But there are other people that want to build their startup, so they do 12 weeks dedicated on their idea that turns out to become a startup. So it's pretty exciting.
That is pretty exciting. Yeah, I was curious about that because 12, like if somebody came and said, I have this startup idea, but I don't know how to do it. You can't really do two other projects and then focus on that in the last month or so, but maybe. Yeah, cool. That's pretty exciting. How many people have you reached through the PDM or do you know the numbers?
Around 120 right now.
That's really great. That's pretty cool.
Hmm.
One of the things I love, one of the things I love about you guys, both you and Julian, is that you're approaching a lot of this. Like you said, there's tons of blogs out there already, but there's like a different, you guys have a different spin on it. I love the idea for your podcast where you kind of bounce back and forth between technical stuff and then Julian's mindset things because
the Julian thing. Yeah.
But it's fun. So, okay. So are you guys definitely different personalities or?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
So disclaimer, we're also best friends, but we couldn't be more different as well. So it's kind of funny. Like I'm more like the developer, more into the techie stuff, the Python. I love mindset, right? The Stoics and the philosophy. I've studied philosophy, not in a degree, but I've always been reading about it. So
okay.
I'm definitely on that mind stuff. But when it comes to PyBytes, I'm more like on the tech. Now he's on the mindset, right? Yeah. I'm a bit more introverted. He is more extroverted. So we're pretty different, but I think that's also where the chemistry lies, you know?
Well, definitely, because I've had to push myself to be more of an extrovert. Naturally, I think I'm just a bookworm. I'd rather just sit in a library and read a book and not talk to anybody.
So nice.
We actually just went to my family and I just went to the library for the first time in a long time and like came back with like 60 books or something. We're like, what's the limit? They said 100. Like, I think we can hit that. We didn't hit 100, but anyway, but yeah. It's easy with like art books and cookbooks. It's easy to go up high. So I'm trying to make pizza lately.
Oh, nice.
So we kind of swung by the Spain thing quickly. Were you born in Spain or how did you get to Spain?
Not at all. Like at 20 years of age, I couldn't even say hola or qué tal. I wouldn't know anything. I had more like a knack for France and I was doing these yearly interrail trips. So where you buy like a month train pass and you can like train your way through Europe unlimited. So I was doing that like in summers and yeah. Like
where were you living at the time? The rest of
the year? I'm originally Dutch. So I was living in Holland. I was studying in Amsterdam.
Okay.
So I had these yearly train trips and, yeah, if you would have asked me by 2001, maybe even 2002, if I would go to Spain, I'd say, nah, not interested. Until I I visited the country in 2003 and kind of fell in love and started to pick up the language. And I like, yeah, I want to live here, you know? So
What is better about Spain than other places you've been?
Well, there are a lot of good places, right? But what attracted me to Spain was, the weather. In Holland, we get pretty shitty weather. The people, they're definitely positive, nice. And again, in Holland, there's also a lot of nice people. But just general, right? Your impressions when you're traveling. The culture, you know? So it was to me it felt very welcoming to me.
Okay, I've never been to Spain. But I looked on a map and you're on the east side, on the east coast. Is that right?
Yes, correct.
And there's a west coast also. Are there big differences between the two?
East and west coast. Yeah, there. I mean, if you go all the way to the west, you're in Portugal. So that's a bit different. There's a lot of similarity as well. But it's different. Yeah. Okay. But here, yeah, it's this nice Mediterranean climate and vibe, good food, beach. So it's nice.
I talked to somebody from Palma once, That's not that far from where you're at, right? I mean, you can't drive there. It's
an island, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, relatively close, right? Yeah.
And you know, when I look at pictures of like where you're at, I'm like, the question is why do you live there? But it's why don't I live there? That looks looks pretty awesome. So
yeah, I have to say it was not like a direct switch, right? I first went to Madrid. There I lived for 8.5 years. Then I went to Murcia, which is more like a rural site. And then we went to Alicante. So it was kind of a whole progression in a sense.
Okay.
We made it. Yeah.
Well, you say we. So you have a family there then?
Oh, yeah. Me and my wife and the two kids.
Did you meet your wife in Spain or were you guys married before? Okay.
In Madrid. Yeah.
Nice. I was going to ask you how warm it is there, but I might not understand your answer.
I might translate it. So it's 30-ish degrees, so that might be 80, 90 Fahrenheit. It's
okay.
But it's you know, it's at the seaside, right? So it's a bit fresh air. Madrid, it gets like 40, or in the south of Spain, it's like 40, and that's up to 100 Fahrenheit, so it gets pretty hot.
Yeah. So do you still do the traveling thing? Even though you love Spain, do you still do the, have you taken your kids up to different parts of Europe?
Not lately. It's just that mostly we do those trips back to Holland to visit the family. So most of my free time, I just go to Holland a couple of times, visiting the parents and, you know, bring my kids.
One of the things you bring up on the podcast, every episode you guys ask, what are you reading? Have you always been a reader or?
That's a great question. Actually, I got into reading pretty late. Like at high school, I really didn't like reading. Like you had these books you had to read. Like now I would love reading them again, like 1984 and Brave New World and those, you know, those utopian books. And I couldn't be bothered, you know, but I don't know. Like later in my 20s, I got more into philosophy and reading, and it really stuck since then. So yeah, that's now a big fan of reading books. Yeah. So
what are you reading now?
Well, Chris May got me on the we're not doing camera maybe, but Building a Second Brain, Thiago Forte. So about note taking and, you know, getting all that stuff out of your head and more systematized information. But I'm also into fiction, so I'm reading Anna Karenina. That's a really long one for the Russians.
You don't mess around.
Yeah, and so yeah, I read all kind of things, both fiction and nonfiction. Yeah,
and reading multiple books at once.
Yes, that's inevitable, but it's probably better to stick with one. Yeah,
I don't know if it's better. I mean, I think I usually have several books I'm reading at once, but that's like what you do in school, right? I mean, I had a history book I was reading and a math book and, you know, whatever. You read a chapter at a time and also watching TV series. I'm following a handful of TV series. Sometimes I watch just one at a time. Totally binged Grimm all at once, like six seasons at once or three seasons or something like that. But anyway.
Yeah.
So you've got a big bookshelf behind you. Yeah, apologize for not doing video because, you know, you got like the perfect video setup right there, but you've got like plants to make sure that you're not a robot, and the books to make you look smart, and then some artwork on the side, which is good. It's good.
That's a nice balance, right? Yeah, yeah. Thanks to the wife as well, right? For putting those plants in there. And,
She got the green thumb in the family? Then
the green thumb and what's that? Like the nature stuff?
Yeah. Okay. Is that not a term in Europe or something? Yeah, the green thumb.
No, explain it.
Somebody please. That's good at good with plants,
I guess. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. It's really a passion of hers. Yeah.
So I say that I read a lot, but honestly, I'm probably physically reading. What am I physically reading? I've got a C++ book I'm reading, and a meditation book. Actually, I thought it was about communicating, but it's really about it's a Thich Nhat Hanh book. It's about basically communicating with yourself so that you can communicate with other people better, things like that. That's a pretty good book. But I have been doing a lot of gardening with the heat, trying to make sure that the garden doesn't die. I'm out watering probably an hour and a half a day, which sounds like terrible work, but I love it. And I'm usually listening to a book on tape while I'm out there. So,
Audible.
Stuff. Yeah. Well, okay. So I spent a lot on Audible, and then my older daughter said, just like, you should check out the library offering. So the, with our public library, there's an app that we can do that we can check out audiobooks from the library just on your phone. And so I'm listening to more. And then, Brett Cannon, started, well, this, I was desperate because Brett Cannon started me on the Murderbot Diaries.
I heard that, yeah.
And they're pretty good, except for they're short. So I like bought the first one and, you know, an hour and a half later or something like that, it's gone. And I'm like, what? Because they're like novellas. They're under 200 pages each. So the audiobook's pretty fast. So, and I looked into the series, there's like seven. I'm like, if I buy them $10 each, it's $70. I don't know if I want to spend $70 on this, but so I'm waiting to get my turn to listen to them through the library.
Nice. But yeah, it's every time through podcast, the reading this grows, right?
Yeah. But I kind of bounce back and forth. Sometimes I like listening to podcasts and sometimes I listen to books, and then sometimes and even podcasts, sometimes it's business ones and sometimes it's tech stuff and everything. But so what's coming next? So you're kind of doing the coaching and you're keeping up on, are you keeping up on everything else? Is the Code Challenges platform still growing?
Yeah, slowly, but it is. Yeah, we do a lot. So the main thing is the coaching. We do the podcast, we do the YouTube, we do the weekly emails. We want to do some more articles as well. I've been posting to LinkedIn quite long posts, so I was thinking maybe I should put those on the blog.
You're writing on LinkedIn is also?
Yeah, I write quite a bit on LinkedIn. Yeah, okay. These longer software-related posts. Yeah.
Huh. Okay.
And so what's next? Yeah, we just actually launched PDI, so PyBytes Developer Init. And that's for the complete beginner or novice. And that's a six-week program where we get you from complete beginner to intermediate developer. So it's very similar to PDM, but instead of clients coming to us with their projects, we guide them through all the basics with Python and Git and GitHub and do one or more capstone projects. So it's a bit more structured. So that's now running for a month. And yeah, we also want to work on the other end. So after PDM, to go into specializations. So people can do a 6-week front end track or 6-week SaaS business track or 6-week machine learning track, because we just got two coaches as well that specialize in front end and machine learning. So exciting times.
Very exciting. Be like between you and real Python, you'd be like controlling the world.
it's funny, right? We have different approaches but it both helps developers, you know?
Yeah. So one of the things I'm noticing is this is kind of a lot of talking with people and community building for an introvert. Is this challenging to you?
Well, when you say introvert, like talking with, I like talking with people, that's for sure. Well, maybe you can resonate with that, right? As an introvert, I don't know, maybe I'm asking you the question, like talking one-on-one with somebody is not really that difficult per se, but maybe in a group setting, you would struggle a bit more. But I think the introvert thing is also more like, how do you want to spend time? And I'm definitely like, I also like to read a book and do things by myself. But yeah, I definitely don't have problem connecting. And I think in our PyBytes world, that's pretty important as well, right? With the coaching and the community, yeah. It's a lot about interacting with people, and we do enjoy that a lot.
I remember like maybe probably 15 years ago, I was talking with one of the great marketing people in our company at the company I was at the time. And I said pretty much that I don't think I could do their job because I'm such a, like, I don't know, the sales part of it seems, I mean, I didn't have a good understanding for what marketing was. And I thought it was people trying to convince you to buy something, even if you didn't need it. And I didn't say that. I just was my mindset of like, people just want to sell stuff and sell as much as they can. But when I was talking with them, they said, I actually think that you would be a decent person at this job because mostly what we do is try to listen, try to understand what problems the other person has and see if there's any offerings that we have that might help and to help them to use it. And like, well, that doesn't sound too bad, but, that and many other conversations with people that I assumed, too much about. Got me to, I guess, just start practicing listening. And as an introvert, listening's easy. I like, it's not talking. So that's good.
That's a great point. I really enjoy listening, right? When people get on the calls with us and we talk about, you know, where they struggle and their goals. And yeah, sometimes you're just listening for 20, 30 minutes and not saying anything. And I love it. That's great, right? It's we have to listen to really be able to help people properly.
So of all the things you guys are working on, for you, what's the most fun part?
Wow. I'm a bit torn. Like I still like the days where I have a couple of hours to code, right?
Okay.
I don't think that goes away. But it has become less, right? Because now I'm kind of split between the content creation, the coaching of people, you know, marketing, sales, having calls of people that are interested. And we have people now working in our team, right? So you also have some managing responsibility in the sense of, you know, leading your team.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of having four hats. And I actually like all these tasks. So what's my favorite? Yeah, that's a good question. I almost enjoy all of that because they have all, you use different skills for all these things, right? And I mean, the coding, the passion for coding does not go away, right? Again, having these gaps to code is awesome. But then if you coach somebody and you see those aha moments when they get unstuck and they launch something to PyPI, which they thought they were not capable of, that's tremendously satisfying as well, right? Or working with a team and see that your fellow coaches come up with brilliant ideas you didn't have. And you're like, that's so awesome. We have a team now, right? So it's it's all fun to me, to be honest.
One of the things that I think is cool about what you're doing is the coaching part, partly because it's also, you do have to grow the team to grow because you can't, you and both you and Julian by the, just the two of you can't coach everybody that you want to.
Right.
So letting some of these coaches be able to help people without having to go out and build their own platform or audience by themselves. And then also to get some extra money on the side. So that's nice. So
yep.
It's pretty cool that what you're doing. So thank you. And I guess you're having enough fun with it that you're probably not looking for to jump out anytime soon. This would be a hard company to sell, I think. Remove Bob and Julian from the company and there's not much there. I mean, there's other people, but yeah,
anyway. I would say so a couple of years ago, but these days with the people that work for us, it's we're still obviously there's Bob and Julian, but there's more a team now. So I'm really happy that there's more redundancy. And
maybe you're gonna IPO soon. And
but I'm staying right here right now. We're having a lot of fun with it and satisfaction. And yeah, as you said, right, it's not only about the clients getting them results, it's also our team, right, giving them an opportunity to grow as coaches. And yeah, both things are just amazing. So
any idea if you guys are gonna try to hit US PyCon next year?
Hope so. Last year's it didn't happen. It's just a huge undertaking and trip, but definitely open to it because it's about time to get all together, right?
Yeah, I'd love to see it, but of course on my end I'd like to go to Euro PyCon as well sometime. So usually go there, right? Or do you?
Not. I do have a ticket for Tenerife in Spain.
Okay.
That's in October, but I would still have to make arrangements on all that. But yeah, not have been to conferences lately since the pandemic.
It's also not a slam dunk with family and everything to have to
make. Yeah, it's a bit tougher now.
Well, thanks so much for talking with me, Bob, and keep up the good work. We love you and Julian. So yeah.
Thanks. We have you guys too, what you do, and thanks for having me on the show today.
All right, thanks.
Thanks.
Thanks for listening to Python People. Let's keep in touch. Head over to pythontest.com/contact to reach out to me, or /newsletter so that I can reach you, or /support if you'd like to, get a course or something.